It's a freedom machine like no other, starting, growing, and cashing out of your own business.
Then all hell breaks loose.
Burned out, carrying all the weight on your shoulders, fighting fire after fire, never getting a break.
But that was so yesterday.
It's time for your business breakthrough. Break out of the bottleneck. Break through to new levels of success. And break into a life you love. Now from Park Avenue in New York City, here's attorney, strategist, and SBA small business champion, Nina Kaufman. This is the Business Breakthrough Podcast.
Hello, how are you? Welcome to Business Breakthrough. I'm your host, Nina Kaufman, coming to you from the heart of New York City, and I'm glad you're here today. Thanks for tuning in. In this episode, we're going to chat with Aliza Sherman. She's a speaker, author, and web pioneer since the 1990s about how technology can hurt your business. So you may be asking, how can a web pioneer and technology maven say that technology is hurting your business? Well, she's seen both sides of it, Aliza has. She's seen how we use technology in our business and the wonderful, amazing efficiencies that it's provided us. I mean, the way it really has revolutionized the way so many small businesses can do business, the way it's enabled us to create connections that previously we might never have been able to make. But we also see the ways that we become absolutely harnessed to it, and we can't disconnect. It's almost like it rules our lives. So one of the things Aliza says is that our cup is too full. We need to disconnect to reconnect. And that reminds me of an old Zen story about the Buddhist scholar who visits the Zen master. It's not a joke like a horse walks into a bar, but bear with me for just a minute. So the scholar had an extensive background in Buddhist studies, and he came to study with the master. And after the customary introduction, he asked the master to teach him Zen. But then the Buddhist scholar just went on and on and on about his extensive background and the many things he had studied and all of the wonderful ideas he had. So the master listened patiently and began to make tea. When it was ready, she poured the tea into the scholar's cup, and gradually the cup filled and filled and filled until it began to overflow and run all over the table and onto the floor. And the scholar saw what was happening and he said, "Stop, stop, the cup is full. You can't get any more in." The master stopped pouring and said, "That's right. You're like this cup. You're full of your own ideas. You come and you ask for teaching, but your cup is full. I can't put anything in. Before I can teach you, you have to empty your cup." And for us as business owners, we sometimes need to empty our cup. We are so full of tasks and obligations and commitments and running around that it doesn't give us the time and space to disconnect, to take that break so that we can see our business with new eyes. And part of doing that involves trusting your team and using technology wisely. So that's why I wanted Aliza to speak about the ways that technology can hurt our business if we're not using it properly. And it's similar to some of the things we talk about in our 10 Steps to a $1 Million Business Report, because if you don't have the right team or the technology to get things off of your plate, or in your cup, get him out of your cup, as it were, your cup will always be full. And therefore, nothing new can come in. No new business developments, no new ideas. So to get out of that rut, go to businessexponential.com/podreport to get your business. And these are just a few of the things that I'm looking forward to delving into with our guest this week. So a little bit about Aliza Sherman. She is a speaker, author, and as I mentioned, web pioneer who has championed the internet for our work and lives since the 1990s. She first went online in 1987. And in 1995, she started the first woman-owned internet company, CyberGirl Incorporated, and the first global internet networking organization for women, WebGirls International. Newsweek has named her one of the top people who matter most on the internet. And in 2009, Fast Company called her one of the most powerful women in technology. She's the author of 10 books, including Power Tools for Women in Business, Mom Incorporated, and Social Media Engagement for Dummies. She's now working on her 11th book, The Happy, Healthy Nonprofit. And we're delighted to have her here on Business Breakthrough. Hi, Lisa. Thanks so much for being with us today.
I am really excited to be here, Nina.
Great. And I want to get your feedback on something is that, as you know, one of the issues for business owners, and especially when we're trying to get the company to function without us, is that it's so easy to get sucked back into that firefighting. And I'm wondering the extent to which technology kind of turns us into the Pavlov's dogs when it comes to that. Can you speak to what it's like for business owners kind of just always responding to the crisis of the moment and how technology, unfortunately, inspires or creates that sense of urgency?
Yeah, I think that everything turns into that urgent, must pay attention thing, and it's exacerbated by our technology and by the way we're using technology. Now, I'm a huge advocate of using technology to improve the way we do things. And as business owners, as solopreneurs, technology can be our friend. But it has also created these new habits. And by new, I mean within the last 5 to 10 years, these new habits of responding, like you said, Pavlov's dog kind of response. When we hear a ding, we all go and check our phones. And when we see a notification, we feel like we have to look at it now. That sense of immediacy, now, I think drives a lot of us to much more stressful places than we normally would have. When I say normal, I mean in the old days when we didn't have the always-on technology. So our habits have changed. Our brains are starting to rewire in this very knee-jerk way. And our technology becomes not just a useful tool, it becomes a taskmaster to us. And so I'm really trying to encourage business owners to reflect on how they're using technology and to begin to pull back, because that urgency creates both psychological and physiological responses that are incredibly unhealthy and absolutely not productive.
So that's a great point. Can you dig a little deeper into those psychological, physiological responses and how they harm our ability to do business?
Well, anytime our thinking is compromised or our health is compromised, our physical health and well-being is compromised, which then does affect our thinking. Anytime we are compromised in some way, our ability to make decisions is harmed. Our ability to focus is harmed. We are distracted to the point of not being as productive as we would like to be. So suddenly, our workday stretches because of this distraction, because of this time wasting, because of this stressful reaction. So there's no good to come out of any of us being obsessive compulsive about our technology and the information it's bringing to us. There's this great acronym, FOMO, fear of missing out. And that expresses that idea, that compulsive need to keep checking. I got to check my Twitter feed. I need to check my email. I need to check up on this notification to see if I'm missing out on something. And the fact of the matter is, 9 times out of 10, we aren't. We aren't missing out. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have that compulsive feeling, and that stresses us out, we have much more energy, I mean, like literally physical energy, to do the hard work that only we can do on our business. So it just exacerbates all of those impulses we have to hoard our work, to stay up late and get things done because, oh, if I just stay up one more hour, I'm going to get that assignment done. And really, it just leaves us exhausted. Well, technology is exhausting us, and that doesn't make us good business owners.
Mm-hmm. And how have you seen over the years, because you've been steeped in technology for a really long time, how have you seen technology affecting our ability to really connect with other people, with our clients, with our employees, with our vendors, even with outsourced teams over the years? How has that shifted and changed?
Well, I'll talk about the negative piece of it, because I do feel, being an evangelist of technology for all these years and being an evangelist of the internet for all these years, there are so many benefits that we've gleaned from it. We've just gotten into these ruts and these bad habits and these actions that are hurting us. But if you think about it, what helps us connect with others? It's not just the act of posting something online and liking somebody's post. That isn't a true connection. It takes attention. It takes time. It takes consideration to really connect with somebody else. So if you're distracted by that notification, I mean, think about it. How many times now have you been in a meeting? Have you been at a business lunch and somebody else, the other person in front of you, the person right next to you, is looking at their device?
Yep.
Checking their device, actually texting in front of you while you're supposed to be having a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's one thing if they say, you know, my kid is sick, there's a family emergency, I need to be connected for a reason. But when it's just, I have the status symbol of having my iPhone on the table because I'm that important, that's a different matter.
And that's not, and it's not a status. It's just a false sense of status or importance that I am constantly available and connected. That detracts from what we really should be paying attention to. And it does come down to etiquette in a lot of ways. I mean, I have been in presentations where my own team members have pulled out their phone and begun texting in the middle of our presentation. And it doesn't even they don't even notice. So there's an etiquette piece of it as well. And I don't mean to say, back in the day when we were so polite. I mean, it's always been something that's distracted us. We always need to take more time to step back, to breathe, and to pay attention to what's right in front of us or to who is right in front of us and what that interaction is. Today, it's just our electronic devices are literally standing in the way of making those kinds of connections. At the same time, they're helping us make other kinds of connections online. But there's just a huge difference when they become a barrier in the physical sense.
Mm-hmm. And so talk a little bit about the positive sense. You mentioned the technology. Yes, I know, question, with LinkedIn and Facebook and other Twitter and other platforms, there's an unprecedented opportunity to connect with people that we didn't. But what is the difference in the connection that we're experiencing?
Well, I love the internet, and I have been singing its praises since the early 90s, like literally before the web was even available to us. I've loved the way that we can take the time to be more thoughtful about how we communicate. Although, think about it, back before we had social media, the fast-moving news feeds, we had email, we had other maybe slower ways of communicating online, and yet to us, it was incredibly fast.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's ultra fast, which again, pros and cons, we can get a lot done in terms of reaching out, communicating, reaching lots of people at once, connecting in that maybe not as deep, possibly a little more superficial way, comments, likes, shares, but we can still reach a lot of people. The thing that I loved so, so much about the internet, I've said on many occasions, it saved my career. In some ways, it saved my life.
In what way?
I used to live in rural Alaska, literally kind of off the beaten path. It was still on a road system, the Alaska Highway. And yet, it was 7 hours from Anchorage. It was 4 hours from Fairbanks. And then when you put in all the snow, it was very hard for me to get out of there. So I was able to revive my career, rebuild my personal brand, all through Twitter, through blogging, through electronic communications. And to be able to prove that out, how incredibly connecting it can be when you're living and working out of rural Alaska. I mean, I even had 3 different internet accounts because if the internet ever went down, my business would suffer. So I literally had 3 different providers to make sure I was always connected when I needed to be. But that's a different kind of connectivity that really is than me flying out of there, driving 7 hours, getting to the airport, flying out, and then meeting with people at conferences and meeting with clients in their office or over lunch. There's inherently a difference. We know that.
Yes. And I have to ask, this is sort of off the beaten path, but what brought you to rural Alaska in the first place? Because I know that our listeners are going to be wondering, how could she not have picked up on that thread? So just really quickly, how'd you end up there of all places?
My husband's shop. I follow my husband for his career because another benefit of being very virtual and internet connected is I can work from anywhere as long as I have an internet connection.
Okay, great. Great. And what does he do?
He is a wildlife biologist and runs national wildlife refuges. So he works for the Department of Interior.
Okay. So now rural Alaska makes perfect sense. I get it.
And now I'm in Arizona. So the complete opposite, complete extreme. I have better connectivity and I still am very virtual though. So if we move tomorrow, I could still run my business.
Mm-hmm. Great. And one of the things about technology, as you say, that it helps us to be connected when often we are remote. But when so much of a business often rests on the shoulders of the business owner, how can they possibly unplug?
Mm. Well, this is the age-old question. There's been books written about this, you know, the regular paper books before we had e-books about this idea. So if you think about it, it's the same idea, working on your business instead of in your business, not getting trapped inside the minutia of your business and not remembering that there's only one of you. And it's so easy for any of us to hoard our work. And being able to let go, being able to delegate, being able to step away is essential for us to sustain that energy we need to keep our businesses going. And this is the hardest thing. This is not even a technology issue per se, although technology now plays into the idea of letting go and giving up your work to someone else. But I've struggled with this. Myself, I think, like many of us, I'm the only one who knows how to do this. I'm the only one who can do it right. I'm the only one who can do it the way I like it. And you learn over time, and sometimes you learn the hard way when you burn out, that it may not be done the way you do it, like you would do it yourself, but it can still be done well. And that other people can care about the quality of work as much as you care. And the biggest lessons I've learned is your business is not your baby. A lot of women especially call their business, this is my baby. This is my baby. But your business is not your baby. Your business is a business, and it's so separate and apart from you. You can infuse it with your energy, but you should not squeeze it so tightly that you either kill it or yourself. So you have to unplug. You have to step back. And the way to do it is to give up that fear that you're going to fail if you don't do it. Put trust into other people. Find the trusted people with the right skill set to relieve you of the things that you shouldn't be doing. And now use technology and the internet to support your work, to help you do work. So it could be apps and it could be people. I mean, I've assembled virtual teams around all the tasks that I really should not be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I say for myself the tasks that I know only really I can do, or my clients are expecting my brain on certain tasks. Right. Other things are the busy work. And all of that, as entrepreneurs, we need to learn to let go of it.
Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting, that point that you brought up about your business is not your baby. I've said that before, but the way you phrased it, I realize that when you see your business as a baby, you know, and you look at a baby is helpless. And very often when our businesses first start, maybe they are like babies because they're kind of unformed and they don't have the systems yet and they can't stand and walk on their own. But if we keep seeing our business as helpless and we have to keep being there to make everything right, then, as you say, it keeps us in this cycle of, if we are not there, it will not function.
And it never grows up, and it never moves out of the house.
Mm-hmm. And dear God,
and for some of, and so it's a mindset and it's a mind shift. Mm-hmm. And luckily, there are so many more resources at our fingertips because of the internet, because of technology. The old-fashioned way was to hire an administrative assistant who would come to your office. Well, so many of us work from home, and many of us don't work in homes that are conducive to having another human being step in the door and do work with you. And some people do the cafe model, where you meet somewhere else, the library, the cafe. Some people do the temporary office model. But really, the virtual team model is brilliant. And being able to adapt to the fact that you could actually have someone work for you who you will never meet face-to-face.
Right.
And trusting that that person, you know, through references, through recommendations, that you find a person with the right skill set to really relieve you of the busy work.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that time and time again. I've built entire virtual teams and have never seen the people face-to-face for at least a year until I happened to travel to their city. So it's a brilliant way of combining the connectivity of technology with other human beings who can be your support network, be your safety net and your relief valve. I think that's a great way for us to go.
Mm-hmm. So which comes first, the chicken or the egg? The collaborative team or the technology platform? How do you know which platforms are going to help you communicate best with a team, and where do you start? Do you start by saying, oh, I want to use Asana or something else, and everybody else needs to fit into that? Do you as the business leader make that decision, or are you more responsive to, and does it depend on who you're bringing on step by step as a member of the team? How do you choose?
Well,
how do you decide?
Yeah,
where do you start?
Chicken egg. I think that if you're a solopreneur right now and you haven't reached out to other human beings to be part of your team, your network, your virtual team, that you first create your process, your system, and you come up with a technology that fits and suits you. Because that alone, picking the right apps to help you do your work and to help you disconnect from your work as well, that makes you a better business person right away. And then as you bring people on and begin to see how they integrate with your system, that's the ideal. The ideal is you say, I use Asana. And by the way, I actually do use Asana, asana.com. It is an app. I use it to manage projects and tasks. I can use it personally. I can use it just for myself. But then I can also assign tasks to other people. I've been so far, every virtual person, virtually, I bring in, I say, I use Asana. Is that okay? And
right.
A lot of the technical people are like, yes, absolutely. Not a problem. Those who aren't familiar with it come to like it. Very few people don't like it. And then when that happens, I just have to figure out several things. Are they the right person? And if they are, is there another way we can communicate? And then I put it into Asana for myself. So chicken egg, it's if you already have a team, I think the process is different. That is, more of a collaborative process. All right, we've all been working together. We've been using email. It's not cutting it. Does anyone know a good tool to use? Let's try it out together. So that's a different way of picking your technology. But my brain works a certain way. I like the apps that I like, and I just try to get my team members to use those apps. But I'm open. If they come up with a better one, I will try it. And sometimes it could win me over.
Okay. And it's sort of ironic to use technology to help break our habits of technology. But what kind of tips and tools have you found helpful so that gradually we do let go of the minutiae and make sure that we're constantly delegating to the team and, you know, taking that step back, stepping away from the business so that we can trust others to get the job done?
Well, it is kind of ironic, or funny, or whatever the word might be, that I, on the one hand, say, you know, technology's great, use technology, use apps. Then I say, unplug, step away, turn off your device. And then I come back and say, use technology to help you unplug and step away. But technology is not the enemy. It's not the problem. It's how we use it.
Right.
How we choose the technology we use, how we relate to the technology, and then how the technology affects all of us and the way we relate to others. So that said, there are apps that can help remind you to be more thoughtful, or sort of the word of the day is mindful, about how you use technology. So I use something on my computer called Rescue Time, rescuetime.com. And it tracks how I'm using apps on my software, on my computer every day. It gives me a weekly report that says, here's how productive you've been. And it classifies things like social networks as not productive, email as semi-productive, Word or PowerPoint or Excel as much more productive. So it has its biases, but it helps you evaluate and understand how you're spending your time when you open up your computer.
Right.
And that in and of itself is built an awareness. So to me, I can begin to see, oh no, I'm spending too much time on Twitter again and I don't have anything to show for it. So it's like a little buddy system reminding you to be more thoughtful about even what apps you're using. So, and I love reminder apps. Even reminder apps, there's one, it blanked on the name of it. Jolt. It applies, you install it on your browser, and it literally says, okay, it's been 30 minutes. Stand up. Do some deep knee bends. Do some neck stretches. It is an amazing fitness-oriented reminder, because that's half of the battle. Our technology is making us immobile. It's making us hunch over. It's straining our eyes. And if we don't take physical breaks, our bodies are changing. The structure of our bodies are changing. So an app can help remind you to stand up and stretch. So when you think about this, as you change your habits and you sort of reboot and shift your mindset and your way of relating to your technology, it gives you much more clarity, ability to concentrate, ability to make choices, ability to pay attention on what your task is. That all helps you. That all helps you as a business owner. That helps you get things done. So I think it sounds strange that technology can help you do things. Oh, sit bolt. Sit bolt is that little, it's sit bolt.
B-O-L-T. Okay.
Yeah, is the fitness app that connects to your browser and that literally will remind you and nudge you.
Get out of your
throughout
chair.
The day. Get out of your chair, girl. So it sounds counterintuitive, but it's all about thinking and stepping back and analyzing what it is that we're doing and looking for smooth processes, sensible and practical ways of using technology, using it in ways that benefit our relationships, our health, the way we work. It's possible, but I think we're all just forgetting it and ignoring it and taking it up for granted. And so I'm just really trying to encourage business owners to pause, look at how you're using it. Simple things like, do you walk into your home and place your phone on the dinner table? Do you place your phone in the bedroom? Well, create a charging station at the entrance where you might drop your house keys. Put your charging station there, charge your device, and walk away from it. Don't let it interfere with the rest of your evening when you come home. Something simple like not waking up to your iPhone alarm and going back to the old-fashioned alarm. I told a friend of mine to do this recently, and he said, hey, the world still goes on without me, even if I'm not checking my Twitter feed and my notifications first thing in the morning because my alarm just went off, and so I reach my phone and there's a notification.
Mm-hmm.
Little things like that, I think, can make a huge difference. When you shift your mindset about it, you take away the urgency. When you begin to calm down and trust the technology instead of get led by it, I think it's beneficial all around. And it helps you let go.
Mm-hmm. And one last question, because given that you're on both sides of the technology discussion, you know, the love and the got to unplug. When we're using technology, let's say the social media platforms, there is an extent to which we do it for work. And sometimes there is an extent to which you kind of get sucked into the Facebook feed or maybe a quick round of Angry Birds. And, you know, I've heard that people, it happens to people.
The rumor.
Right. So what are some quick tips that you can share with us so that we can better evaluate, are we truly using these kinds of platforms and getting engaged in this technology in a way that is moving our business forward as opposed to just being a time suck and a distraction?
Well, I'm very much into making lists.
Mm-hmm.
And the act of writing something down also makes things very real and tangible to me. I would really recommend that any business owner pull out a piece of paper and a pen. I know you've got one somewhere. And write down a list of your priorities. Write down a column of priorities for your life. What's really important to you in life? Write down next to that your priorities for your business. Some of it will be parallel and mesh, and some of it will be greatly in conflict. Mm-hmm. And then write down how much time you want to spend on the important use of technology and how much time you want to give yourself for the frivolous, and set calendar dates with yourself. Like, I know I need to check my Twitter feed at a certain interval during the day because it is part of my work. It is part of my job and it's part of my marketing.
Right.
But I only allow myself a certain day time for just flipping through the feed mindlessly, for pinning on Pinterest, for going on to Facebook. In fact, my Facebook time, my personal Facebook time, has shrunk to just a few times checking a week. It's been a little bit hard to adjust because it was such a bad habit. And also, some people will only contact me through Facebook. So you have to train other people not to use Facebook as the primary contact. I've turned off the notifications. I've deleted the Facebook app from my phone. And I will only check it through my web browser. But those kinds of shifts make a tremendous difference. But you need to just really think about what is important to you. Is seeing what everybody's Facebook feed is saying essential to your business and to your life? And if not, but it's sort of a guilty pleasure over a glass of wine, then assign that a little bit of time and keep it within that time.
Mm-hmm. Great. You know, and it's just your language is a wonderful way to wrap here, because you talk about training people to contact you in the way that you most want to be contacted so that you can stop becoming the Pavlov's dog when it comes to technology. So, Aliza, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate all your insights.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for listening. Remember, go over to businessexponential.com right now and download our 10 steps to a $1 million business. We lay it out for you step by step. the 10 building blocks that'll have you building and growing your business so it's not so dependent on you. Won't that be a relief? Of course it will. So do it right this minute so you don't forget. You'll see it there on top of the homepage. Go to businessexponential.com.